I would have to say that my life, I feel, has gotten much more simple since getting married.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is Wednesday of the third week of Advent.
Thank you once again for being here.
Just wanted to have a quick little word of thank you.
Yes, thank you to our monthly supporters. You know, without you, we can't do this. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. You allow us to come this way, do these videos and serve, and we say thank you so much for your help. You are directly a part of this service that you watch. And for those who have been watching and would like to help be a part of our support team, we'd be very grateful for the consideration. We'll put a link at the end of this video, also in the description. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And we'll continue to share with you our thoughts on St. Alphonsus Advent sermons. Janelle, mm-hmm. you got some thoughts on simplicity?
On obedience.
On obedience?
Yes. Okay. So St. Alphonsus likes to talk to the religious. And he says, "But in all things, even when asked by superiors what he desires, he should only answer, 'I will that which holy obedience wills of me.'" So when I read this, I was just thinking to myself, you know, that's kind of appealing actually to me. Like, I will only that which holy obedience wills of me. So like, I only have to do what I'm told to do. And I think of our children actually. So like, I have like a checklist and they have to like check everything off. They have to brush their teeth, make their bed, brush their hair, say their prayers. They have to empty the dishwasher. You know, there's like, get their math done. Anyhow, I could tell you the whole list. But, you know, and I just think, can somebody make me a list? Someone make me a list. And I just have to check it off and get it done. Like, I feel like I can be quite obedient. And I would like that. It creates a simplicity. Because otherwise, I don't have to walk around wondering, like, what should I do? What am I supposed to do next? What's the most important thing? How do I, like, prioritize the most important? I feel like as a mother, sometimes that can be really difficult because there's like so many decisions and so many people that you're dealing with, and sometimes I get overwhelmed. So sometimes I just want someone to tell me what to do.
Well, I can appreciate that. Like, because you do a really fantastic job of running the household, you're homeschooling. I mean, you organize the rhythm of the home.
Just take deep breaths.
But I appreciate your great effort. But I also can understand, like, I know that many times you're telling me there's a lot of things that are running in your mind. Whereas the religious, they get their orders from their superior, done. You know, they do it. So there's a simplicity of life with the religious order. But I would have to say that my life, I feel, has got much more simple since getting married. Mm. Because I was 33 and you were
28
when we got married. So up to 33, relatively, there's a good period of time where I was single and you're not really tied down. And so because of that, you have all these options before you in terms of how you spend your time. For me, it was a very self-centered type of living, although I don't think I really recognized it at that point. But this question was always running in my mind. It was continuous. God, what's your will for me? What's your will for me? What's your will for me? And that question actually stole peace because I don't want to miss out on God's will. But when we got married, I just found life got way simpler because I knew that when I woke up in the morning, what God's will for me was to love you. Mm. And then when children came along, what God's will for me was to love our children.
You make it sound so simple.
Well, for me, it was because it was like, this is the person I get to focus my entire life on. And this glorifies God, helps my salvation, blesses them. It's a win all around. It just makes life simple. Now, there's details in how you do that. I get that. But as a single person, man, I was just like such turmoil trying to figure that out. But I understand, okay, you've got to make decisions here in the home to try and figure that out. St. Alphonsus then goes into talking about the love of God the Father. And I really encourage you to pay attention to this here.
"Consider how the Eternal Father addressed these words to the infant Jesus at the instant of his conception. 'My son, I have given thee to the world for the light and life of all people, in order that thou mayst procure for them their salvation, which I have as much at heart as if it were my own. Thou must, therefore, employ thyself entirely for the well-being of men.
So was St. Alphonsus there at the moment of Jesus' conception to witness this conversation?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't. So how in the world does St. Alphonsus know what God the Father is saying to Jesus? Well, this is an example of St. Alphonsus' mental prayer. At one point, he's placed himself in the presence of God, and he has imagined God the Father speaking to Jesus at the moment of conception. So that's what we just read, his mental prayer. And then after this, St. Alphonsus continues to write what God the Father would say. He describes to Jesus how he must suffer in poverty, he must go to the cross, he must spill his blood. And then this next part, again, God the Father speaking to Jesus. St. Alphonsus imagines this, but he writes,
"Thus, my beloved son, man will be constrained to love me and to be mine when he sees that I give thee, my only begotten one, entirely to him, and that there is nothing left for me to give him."
So I think these are beautiful realizations by St. Alphonsus. This again comes out of his prayer. Mm-hmm. He realizes, oh, God the Father loves us so much that when we realize this, we will be constrained, nothing will constrain us to give ourselves back to God. We don't want our children to obey us because they're afraid of us.
No, of course not.
Will they get a consequence if they don't obey us? Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they will get that. That's being a responsible parent, teaching consequences to actions, which is missing in society, by the way. Everybody gets the gold medal. No, not everyone gets the gold medal. In the end, there's the left hand and the right hand, the goats and the sheep, there's up and down. Not everyone gets the medal. But anyways, we want our children, ideally, to listen because they love us. Mm-hmm. And the same with God the Father. He communicates his love to us by giving his best in Jesus Christ, who withholds nothing from us so that we respond out of love, not fear. And the other thing, one of the greatest joys of my life is when I put our kids to bed and my son Jacob says, thanks, Dad, for being a good dad.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the best?
It brings tears to my eyes because he feels loved. Mm-hmm. And then that is going to shape how he lives. You know, children learn to look at God the Father in the way they see their parents. So if children are able to see good parents, they take these lenses and then they look upon the cross and they see a good God. Mm-hmm. They see parents who are monsters. There's a typical, they put those lenses and they project that upon God. Because the parent, in their eyes, especially when they're young, has God-like characteristics. We're all powerful. We're all knowing. We run their world. And so when you have good parents and they communicate love, this really does shape a child's behavior to God. And so I rejoice that my son says to me regularly, Dad, thanks for being a good dad. At the end of my life, I hope he can still say that. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dad, for being a good dad. Mm-hmm. I think we're done, huh?
Yeah, I think we're done.
Okay.
Thanks for watching.
Yeah. Comment below. Look forward to hearing from you. See you soon.
Oh, come divine Messiah, the world in silence waits the day when hope shall sing its triumph and sadness flee away.